Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast. I am Joseph Ward, and I'm here with my homie, Mr. Sam Dixie, whichever way. I don't know. He wanted these left or right. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Ready to get into it.
You get it in. Hey, man, so we had no show last week. I ain't gonna lie, I was exhausted. Like, I had to go ahead and take a little vacation from the job, but I was exhausted. So we didn't have a show last week. I had to get my life together and get all my wits back. But we here, and here it go. The realest sports show you ever heard. The realest, blackest, and funniest sports show you ever heard. Coming straight from the South, going down. Audio shop talk right in your ear hole, right? www.freedomtrainradio.com. So I will usually give you all of my housekeeping, not going to give you all of it because we want to go ahead and get into it. But remember to support The Fix on Patreon at patreon.com/The Fix. That way you can contribute to this platform growing, contribute to us having more resources to give back to our community. So www.patreon.com/The Fix. Make sure you visit our Freedom Train Network parent website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. I always want to be the dude, you know, the movie trailer dude, A Long Time Ago in the Distance.
Yeah.
I always want to be that dude. I don't want to have what you get paid.
Hey, they probably get paid a good amount, man.
Right.
About that in a world where such and such.
Right. Hey, man, we're supposed to wear our V necks in honor of Derrick Jackson, man.
We wear the V necks and sit in the car.
There you go. See, the problem with you sports people is. Hey, man. All right. So, a rundown on what we talking about. HBCU spotlight. We got two spotlights to give. So, once again, North Carolina A&T track has won a national title. So, we're going to get into that. Once again, I don't know what the hell Deion Sanderson did down at Jackson State, but everybody winning, including the volleyball team. And we're going to tell you about them becoming SWAC champions, right? There's a group of black women in North Carolina who are fishers. They fish. I don't know if I said that right, but they fish. They're competitive fishers. And they are here dominating that sport. And we're going to learn about that. I like fish. I know my dog Sam like the fish.
Mm-hmm.
I like fish. So we all got something in common. All right, Russell Okung, offensive lineman for the who's Russell with now?
I'm not sure. I know he spent a lot of his time with Seattle. Right now, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, so Russell Okung signed with the Panthers, and half of his salary, he got it in Bitcoin, and since that has happened, what he invested has doubled. I think somebody said around the sum of $21 million. So, Nike is in some controversy. I can say we because I'm an owner of Nike. So we, but them, but more so them, all of them got controversy around their recent ad in support of pregnant athletes when they have a history of not supporting pregnant athletes. There's a former Kansas University student who was convicted of rape, was released from prison because he got a new trial. And there's a lot of controversy around this as well, because it's like, of course, from his side, saying he's innocent, and from the other side, saying he's guilty, but a retrial is coming up, so we're going to get into that. And my weekly rant, I got to put Deshaun Watson in the rant just for continuity. I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying he didn't. But when you have 13 to 16 civil suits against you, now we're going to get into some of these details, but just for continuity, I have to put Deshaun Watson in the rant in case he's guilty. Because if he's guilty, then you already know what it is. But if he's not, but just in case, Deshaun Watson is a part of this rant. But let's get into this HBCU spotlight there, shall? Is you got your track shoes on, Sam?
I ain't got them on right now. I gotta get them out the
There you go.
closet.
There you go. I think if I ran the 100 right now, I probably finish it in 100 seconds right now. So, so the mighty, mighty North Carolina A&T men's indoor track and field senior star Trevor Stewart understands something very clearly. What you understand, Trevor? North Carolina A&T State is an HBCU. Therefore, no matter what the team accomplishes during the regular season, they go to meet the likes of NCAA's men's and women's indoor track and field champions at the University of Arkansas's Randall Tyson Track Center. Underestimated, right? Even when they win at NCAA Nationals, it is credited as an anomaly. Unfair, perhaps, but Stewart loves every aspect of it. On Saturday, Stewart, and there was a couple Saturdays ago, Stewart and sophomore Randolph Ross. Why they name that boy Randolph?
Hey, man, maybe it's a family. Maybe he liked the second and the third.
Here, Junior. Here, Junior. Here, Junior. No, that's his classification.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. It's Randolph Ross Jr., who is a senior. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we got.
You know, if you got a name like that, that's
yeah.
a family name.
Yeah, you don't just give somebody that name just off top, right? So mm-hmm. we got Stewart, Randolph Ross Jr., Elijah Young, and Junior Daniel Stokes won the NCAA Outdoor National Champion in the 4x400 meter relay to give the men's program its first ever national championship. Man, that's live. Shouts out to them. Hand claps to them, right? And so this is a quote that say, people are always going to discredit us no matter what we do, said Stewart. Okay, this is my Stewart voice. It boils down to we're an HBCU. We're not supposed to be doing this. This almost forces us to do it bigger and better. But we're fine with that. It makes us better people, and it prepares us for life after college. Bigger and better is what the world is going to expect from us, too. I ain't mad at that. So A&T's 4x400 team certainly did it big and better on Saturday. The foursome ran a 303.16, the fifth fastest time in NCAA history. Damn. Ooh. To outlast the University of, they beat Kentucky. So they got hit beating SEC schools, and we know how the SEC is doing track and field.
Yeah, so, they usually the dominant conference in track and field.
Right. And so the Aggies are the first HBCU to win an NCAA outdoor title in the 4x400 since Morgan State won in back-to-back years in 65 and 66. So in addition to winning the 4x400, Ross Jr. finished second nationally in the 400 meters by running the 44.99 to establish a new personal record. Ross Jr.'s time is the eighth fastest in NCAA history. So yeah, man, the boys went up there and got it in. And what's I've been reporting about A&T track and field, whether it's men, women's, indoor, outdoor, for maybe 4 years now. Bowling. A&T bowling.
Yeah, man, it seems like they just building and building to eventually they're gonna win that, because these were championships in these individual events. But eventually they're gonna be pushing for that team title.
Right. And they know that they can stack up against the best.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't mad at them, man. So, all right, so that's the first part of our HBCU spotlight. North Carolina A&T sends a message with a national title. And it's not a black college title. It's
the NCAA.
Yes. Get your mind right.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what's up.
So primetime magic is happening in Jackson State, even though they lost to Alabama State. But primetime magic is happening in Jackson, Mississippi, because it seems like everybody's winning. So Jackson State football team is better than they were in the past 19 years because of primetime. We know the basketball team has won the MEAC title, I think the women's basketball. And we're about to talk about the women's volleyball team. So Jackson State Lady Tigers defeated Mississippi Valley State 3-0 on Monday evening as JSU captured the spring 2021 SWAC volleyball regular season championship with an undefeated record of 9-0 in league competition. I ain't mad at them. Jackson State defeated Mississippi Valley State 25 to 22 in the close first set before defeating Mississippi Valley State 25 to 12 and 25 to 15 in sets 2 and 3 of the night. Jackson State was led by Alexis Williams, one time Alexis, who contributed 12 kills, 5 digs, and 5 service aces. Damn. Jalen Witten titled 9 kills in the team best 7 digs in the championship clinching match. JSU's Marina Bianchi Burrito finished with 4 kills and 3 blocks, and Elena Washington and Dakira Dennis each tallied 6 digs in the win. So, shout out to JSU volleyball. They had abbreviated season, went out there and killed 9-0.
Yeah, man, and it's good. It is thinking about what you were saying about Deion Sanders. That's the thing about him being there. Obviously, it's going to benefit the football team, but just that residual effect, like, you know, people, like maybe they go on the internet and they searching about JSU football. And then, oh, I also see this article about the volleyball team pops up, and or this article about the women's basketball team pops up. So that's just going to get them more exposure, you know, overall. And then to go out and perform, that's just gonna pay dividends further down the line.
Yeah. And salute to Deion for pushing his weight around for what he was saying about the women's soccer field. Did you see that? Because you know, for those who don't know, basically, Jackson State's women's soccer field is not up to par. Hell, FAMU don't even have a women's soccer team. FAMU don't have no soccer.
They don't have any.
It's all in the mirror. So shout out to Jackson State for having a soccer team, but their soccer field for the women isn't up to par. So Deion was like, it's unacceptable, and he's making sure he used the power that they have to get the women's soccer team a better field. So shout out to him for that.
Yeah, man, that's what you gotta do. That's what you like to see that on not just the HBCUs, but any of these schools with these because the football and basketball, especially men's basketball and football, they're gonna drive the bus for the majority of athletic programs. Right. So anytime you see those programs using their influence to look out for those other programs that aren't, you know, the revenue generating sports, you know, that's a good thing because,
right,
I mean, those athletes work just as hard as the football players. They work just as hard as the men's basketball players to go out and compete. So you like to see those programs that got the notoriety to help to spread that around.
Yeah. 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 Cause it all helps the next and it helps those other programs be able to bring in revenue for themselves.
Right.
So, cause it, and I'm not going to get into this cause we didn't come here to talk about this, but it just makes me think about the conversation people are having about the NBA and WNBA, about the pay disparities and things and how that happens. And what they can do to fix that. And it's just, well, revenue. But what can bring in more revenue is more exposure, more shine, but more help. But you still have to have the revenue that you're bringing in to make sure you improve what you have going on for yourself. So that's our HBCU spotlight there, Shouts.
Yep.
Hey, man. No one thing. We're going to talk about these black college sports. No one thing. We're going to talk about nothing else. We're going to talk about these black college sports. So it's still March, and it's still Women's History Month. We celebrate women all the time, but we will take advantage of Women's History Month. And we have some women who are making history in North Carolina in the sport of competitive fishing. And this is a team comprised of black women who out there getting them fish. Them fishes there. So a North Carolina team of black women in competitive fishing are making their mark in the sport. Gia Peebles is the founder of Ebony Anglers, an all-black competitive fishing team comprised of 5 professional women based in North Carolina. Peebles is a salon owner, and last June she attended the Big Rock Fishing Tournament in Beaufort, North Carolina. While there, she discovered the lack of black women or women of color in the competitive fishing sport. That's when she got the inspiration to form a team. When I saw women of all ages coming from their fishing boats with fishing, winning prizes, I noticed that there were no women of color competing. I said to myself, we can do this. I already know accomplished women who are leaders and know and now and excuse me, and know how to win in other aspects of lives. We can do this, people said. Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. It's interesting how she put that. It's interesting. And I'm be very careful how I say this, but it's interesting how she put that because you want that mindset. You want the mindset, but don't be mistaken that you could just go into any realm and just compete.
But see, I don't think she meant it that way.
Right. I do. I get you.
I think she meant it as because, like, you know, competitive fishing, you know, your genetics is not like, you know, playing baseball or basketball, mm-hmm. right? Your genetics is not going to play a role in
right.
it.
Right.
Basically, you just have to learn how to do it.
Right. No, I'm with you, but I want people to really understand though. Don't mistake what she's saying to think right. that you okay. can just have yeah. the mindset and just be like, I'm finna go play in enough. No, that's not what she's telling you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she's saying that we can put in the work.
Right.
And then we can, you know, be on that level. But yeah, she's not saying we just gonna show up.
Right. Yeah. So people, she contacted four of her friends who are also business owners. Leslie, Mousy, Glenda Turner, Babette Palmer, and Tiana Davis. Together, the group began entering into competitions, quickly making a name for themselves. They took first place in the King Mackerel Division of the Carteret County College Foundation's Spanish Mackerel and Dolphin Tournament. The group reeled in a 48-pound King Mackerel. Damn. Earned an award that recognizes anglers for impressive catches by the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. Okay. While not all of them were avid fishers, they caught on quickly, relying on each other's strengths. In October 2020, they competed in their second tournament, bringing in 7 king mackerel within 4 hours during the last tournament day. Yeah, because I would probably quit by that 4th hour. Look at him. So people said that despite their success, the group is about more than just fishing. Our mission is to create an elevated lifestyle brand anchored and nautical sportsmanship and fine outdoor living while modeling strength, balance, and resilience of Black women. We also want to establish a legacy of leadership, sportsmanship, and excellence for youth through education and mentoring, people said. The women are mothers and business owners who work to juggle their daily responsibilities with the team. Now, I just think that's pretty damn cool, though, man. A team full of women going out there and competitive fishing because you fish a lot more than I do. And how often do you see in competitive fishing? How do you see women in competitive fishing? Period.
Not very often. It's any of those types of outdoor sports. You know, it's generally men, and like what she was saying, it's even only recently that you start to see Black men in competitive fishing. So right. to see Black women is even less. Right. So yeah, kudos right. to her, man. Well, kudos to all of them.
Cause these aren't spaces that women are in, let alone Black women are in abundance. So so when you go into these spaces, you're not gonna see a reflection of yourself. You're not gonna see that. So these are spaces you like they're doing. You either gonna say, we're not gonna do this, or if you're gonna do it, we're gonna be part of an integration process.
Right. But then it's just like you was talking about with the other sports. I mean, just seeing that, that's going to maybe some other girls say, hey, well, maybe that's something I could do. You know, I like going outdoors. You know, maybe that's something I could do as a professional. Right. So right. maybe it'll be something that you'll see more of in the future.
Well, and even into that, the reason why I said what I said about you don't see a lot of women competitive fishing because we both know a lot of women who fish.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I don't want people to get it twisted. Women fish, but But it's not a lot of women in like the
Competitive.
competitive fishing sports, but women fish. So like you're saying, that's a great point you made. Maybe even women who fish can say, hey, we can do this competitively.
Right, make a living out of it.
Right, go and get Barbara Jean and Keisha and them and get a team together. So that's real cool. And an added bonus is they not just in it, they winning.
Right.
So shout out to them for winning in the sport rather than just being in the sport. So
For real,
because
for real.
I'm not catching no 48-pound mackerel.
Yeah,
I can tell you,
man.
I can tell you what.
That's impressive, man, 'cause they gonna put up a fight.
Bruh, look here. Them got them thing, them little mud pond, what little mud pond fish be fighting. So you know a king mackerel.
Yeah,
Man.
that's a big fish.
Right. And so yeah, it's five women. And they look pretty cool in this picture too. So that's what's up, man. So shout out to these women, what's the name of the team? The Ebony Anglers. Shout out to the Ebony Anglers. All right, let's keep this thing rolling like an avalanche, right? So Russell Okung, so we teased you earlier. So Russell Okung is now a Carolina Panther. And Russell Okung basically did something nobody else in NFL in sports history has done that we know of. And now one of the reasons for that is Bitcoin is fairly new. Cryptocurrency is fairly new. There are a lot of people who are invested in it. There are a lot of people who are mining it. There are a lot of people who have no idea how to get started in cryptocurrency. There are a lot of people who have no interest in cryptocurrency. But one NFL player, Russell Okung, and like Sam said earlier, we know Russell Okung for playing with the Seahawks. That's how we know him. Did we know him coming out of college?
Yeah, he was one of the top picks in I forget the year, but like 'cause he been playing like a while, but he was one of the top picks from he went to Oklahoma State.
Okay.
He was one of the top guys in the draft that year. I want to say maybe 08, 09, somewhere around there.
Okay. So basically Russell Okung, for those who don't know him, Russell Okung been a top offensive lineman in the NFL at the tackle position. So for those who don't know, the tackle position is a high, especially left tackle, it's a highly paid position. You got quarterback, left tackle, tight end, running backs. Those more so the people to get the money, right? And so he's turning 33. NFL stands for not for long. He made it past the not for long. He's 33. He's getting a new deal. He's no longer with the Seahawks, but he's now signed with the Carolina Panthers. And he did something different. And he asked for half of his $13 million salary to be converted into Bitcoin. So that's roughly what, 7, 8 million or something that could be Bitcoin. And so it's the first time a player has asked to be paid in cryptocurrency. And the last time I checked, or a while back when I checked, Bitcoin, it was at 50,000. So now it's, I no, last time I looked, it was at 60,000. The value of it increased tenfold, or it didn't, I didn't say tenfold, but it increased. So Russell receiving his Bitcoin payment in December 2020. At the time, Bitcoin's dollar equivalent was worth about 27,000. Well, damn, so he got in
Yeah, he
a
didn't
little before that.
he like doubled it.
Right. So he put 6.5 million in, which was about 240 Bitcoin. So in the past 3 months, the value of Bitcoin has continued to increase and it's proven lucrative for Okun. At the time of this writing, one Bitcoin was worth 57,494. That means the Bitcoins of Okun's salary had already doubled. He currently got about 13 million worth of Bitcoin plus the 6.5 million in cash from the rest of his salary. Get y'all mind right. So the Okun 13 million deal has turned into about 20.3 million dollars. In fact, Bitcoin's dollar value hit 61 earlier this month, meaning Okun's Bitcoin investment is, well, at the time was worth 14.64 million. That pushed him into the top 30 highest paid NFL players just by making a smart move. Hey, man, financial literacy, people.
Yeah, man. That's impressive, man. I mean, I will say me, Bitcoin kind of scares me because it's like, you know, like you was talking about being, you know, being part owner of Nike or whatnot. Like if you buy into a company, you know you into the company. Like, you know, whether it's like Microsoft or Nike or, you know, Coca-Cola. You know, you, but like when you say, hey, I invested in crypto, in Bitcoin, it's like, okay, well, what is it? Well, oh, it's just this money that people say is money, then we just decide how much it's worth.
Right.
So I'd be like, it's risky, but if you got the money to risk that you can, you know, willing to take it on, it could pay off. And now, he is paid off.
One of the things about Bitcoin that's unsettling for me is the volatility of it.
Yeah.
Because Bitcoin could drop down to 40 on Monday.
Right.
And so it is a chance that it's taken. So I'm hoping that I hope he's very knowledgeable about it, I hope.
Yeah, and he probably did this because, like what you said, he's been playing for a long time. So he probably had, I mean, he's gotten other contracts.
Right.
So he had other, and then it was half.
Right.
So even if it was, like, let's say it tanked, he felt comfortable that, okay, well, I still get paid the other half in regular cash.
Exactly.
So it was an amount that he was comfortable. I mean, because, like, I mean, you know this. I mean, if you're going to invest, I mean, you got to be an amount that you could be comfortable with. Like, hey, if it don't work out.
Yeah, you got to be cool with losing. Yeah. So for me personally, and for my level of knowledge on Bitcoin and investing, I invest in stocks, but Bitcoin probably would be 10% of my portfolio.
Yeah. A small amount.
Now, we know that in the future, cryptocurrency is going to be currency. We know in the future. So I would encourage everybody to learn it. But I guess I would say, don't set your portfolio like I would set mine up. If you're going to rock with Bitcoin or any stock, any investment that you do, make sure you do your homework. Because if you don't do your homework, you're really at that gamble. So, like, I know I spent last night looking at the 5-year charts for all of my investments, and I might have to get rid of my Beyond Meat. I don't know, but they projecting Beyond Meat to do good in the future, though. But just over the past 5 years, compared to all of my other stocks, it ain't been shaking up. Right, but also, Beyond Meat isn't it ain't 5 years old yet either. So now it's funny. We just had the discourse. We just had the conversation we just had, because this next thing is saying, of course, Okun hasn't actually made any of that money yet, because, of course, the season ain't started. And the volatility of Bitcoin makes it a risky investment. However, it doesn't seem like it's slowing down anytime soon, which opens up an interesting wrinkle for future player contracts. After 10 years in the league, so this should be by the second or third contract. Should be by the third contract, third or fourth. 10 years in the league. So 10 years in the league, he has already made billions of dollars. Like you said, he can afford to take an investment risk. I don't need to read this. Hey, we just said that. But basically that's saying what we just said. He's made money, so he can afford to risk this. So 6.5. I'm cool with losing 6.5, basically what he said.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, a rookie coming out doing something like that. Cause, like, hey, this your first contract, I mean, you want to get that bag,
right?
Get, you know, where you can, you know, get yourself secure, then you can, you know, do some more risky right. investments.
And so even for me, it would be either take a percentage of my salary and put it into Bitcoin, rookie quarterbacks can afford to play a little more with their money than the other positions because them bonuses are sick. Mm-hmm. So you give me a $60 million bonus, I could take $2 million and put that into Bitcoin.
Right.
And see what that do. I probably wouldn't even go no further than that, just for with the knowledge that I have. No more than $2 million of that 60 and sit and let that do what it do. Cause just $2 million of that. Just $2 million of that. And then
go ahead.
I just finna say, and then when you learn more about it, you can do more.
Right. And then the thing is, like what I think you, cause you said he hadn't made it. Like,
right. Once you actually got paid, yeah,
right. Because, and then, like, once you put it in there, you only see the money if you sell the Bitcoin
right
at the right time,
right?
So, like, and then that's the thing about it, because, like you said, because it could be at 55 on like this Saturday, Monday, it could drop to 40, and then you may end up taking a loss. So, I mean, it's that's why he said it's complicated, man. Right. Like he obviously did research though.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you wouldn't want to do that and just be like, oh well, you know, I just put it money in this and
see
what happens.
Now, I don't expect Bitcoin to be dropping anytime soon. Of course the volatility, so it's gonna go up and down, but I don't expect it to drop anytime soon unless something drastic happens. So he should be good, and he got more financial educational resources than we do.
So oh, for sure.
I hope he's using them. He better be using them, thanks, if he ain't.
I'm pretty sure he is, because I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago or the last time they did a they had to restructure like the NFLPA and he's one of the guys that's very vocal about, like, you know, what's good, what's a good contract for players, and what's, like, you know, and everything like that. So he's one of the guys that's, you know, very, you know, very versed into those things and how contracts works and what's the best contract and what's the best terms for the players, not just for the top players, like for himself, but like for those guys making, you know, the minimum salaries. Cause like, yeah, he wrote one of those articles on that Players Tribune that went into great detail about, like, the you know, what were some of the holdups between the Players Association and the league. So if I had to guess, I'm sure he's, you know,
so putting those resources
use right as far as, like, you know, finances and everything like that.
Okay, so that wasn't no. So from what you saying, I doubt he went to YouTube and said, this sounds good. Right. Let me do this. He put his research in.
Like I said, based on that and like the things that I've seen, you know, him tweeting stuff, that's not sound like something he would just do. He would do it, you know, he would take his time and do his research.
And so just because we're on this topic, I'll do this. For people who want to learn more about investing, any type of investing, YouTube channels I would suggest. And why I would suggest these channels, because they're going to force you to do your own research anyway. So... Earn Your Leisure. They have a show every Monday at 8 called Market Mondays. So Earn Your Leisure. One of the gentlemen that's on that platform, his name is Ian Dunlap. IANDUNLAP. Ian Dunlap has his own channel. So you can check Earn Your Leisure and Ian Dunlap. You can check out the Come Up series. So that's the channel, the Come Up series. They do a great job of breaking the stops down. And the Wall Street Trapper. So all of them are friends, and they do a great job of breaking down investing in things. So Russell Okung might even be down with them. So who knows?
Right.
But shout out to Russell though. Like that's cool, man. That's cool. Get your money right. Cause remember that article came out a while ago? No, it was the documentary Broke.
Yeah.
And then there was an article professional athletes go broke or something like that. But that's something that people have been talking about for a long time, especially black professional athletes going broke. So shout out to Russell. All right. So moving this ball along. So Nike is in controversy over their new ads supporting pregnant athletes. Like I said earlier, after a long history of literally not supporting pregnant athletes, i.e., Allyson Felix, who's like the most decorated track athlete, women's track athlete of male. She might be the most decorated track athlete, one of them, women or whatever. But she was dropped by Nike after she got pregnant, only to be picked back up by Nike after years later. So she's one of the main ones speaking out about this. So it's funny I ran across this article because I know Allyson Felix and people have been talking about this for years. So this is saying one of the fascinating things about how some entities behave is utter discourage, is utter disregard for their previous actions. Duh. And they act like we don't have cameras and stuff, right? So it said, or their inability to realize a few clicks or a short search can call them up quickly. Case in point, Nike. On Sunday, the global retailing giant posted an ad to its Twitter and Instagram accounts, perhaps to recognize Mother's Day in the United Kingdom. In Nike's now familiar style, the ad features lots of regular women in various stages of pregnancy and early motherhood doing athletic things, along with some well-known female athletes who are mothers, like Serena Williams, Nia Ali, who's a world champion hurdler, and U.S. Women's National Team stalwart Alex Morgan. On its face, it's empowering. It's beautiful. Even for those whose best days as an athlete came before we became mothers. It's glorious to see pregnancy and motherhood celebrated that way and underscore that you can and should be active while you are creating life. But for anyone who's paid attention, it rings very hollow. Like me and Sam, right? So Google Nike pregnancy, and right at the top are the results. Other results are two New York Times op-eds that the corporation seems to believe don't exist, or we've forgotten, or were ignored because they made a glossy 60-second video. Basically, to sum all this up, Nike, like we said, Nike has a history of not supporting these pregnant women and dropping them once they get pregnant. So less than 2 years ago, Nike faced severe backlash after multiple of its sponsored track and field athletes, first world champion medalist Alyssa Montano, and Olympian Kara Goucher, and then Allyson Felix, the most decorated American track athlete ever. That's what I was trying to say. So they revealed in the New York Times that the company penalized them financially for becoming pregnant, stopping payments while they were unable to compete. And that's the bullshit that I don't like, is because a lot of these companies are doing that now. Because I think after George Floyd, I think companies are like, forget just doing what we want to do. We're gonna go with the flow because we want to make more money. And we don't want to turn off the so-called woke people. So we're gonna just go with the flow and do things as if we've been supporting these entities for the longest, and we know you haven't. Nike has not supported pregnant women. Nike, we're calling you out. Stop the bull. Because to me, there's a way to present this. We should have set it up. In the past, we didn't support this. We
That's
apologize.
right.
So let's go to the female. Let's go to these athletes. Let's go to these women that we didn't support first. Make up for not supporting them, then ask them what's the best way we can support. That's what they should have done.
Right, exactly. Because, like what you're saying, man, they can't do that ad with the past that they have. Like, the ad itself is great. The past, I mean, you can feel what you're going to feel about it. I mean, because, like, I mean, at the end of the day, they are a business. So they're going to try to make money, and then they're going to feel like, hey, if you're not performing for whatever reason, we're not going to pay you. And that's fine. But then you can't do that and then turn around and do this ad. So, like, it's just that's, I mean, like, I kind of think about like with Chick-fil-A. I mean, everybody know how Chick-fil-A stand, how they feel about, homosexuality. So then they can't, then it'll be like if they didn't turn around and make an ad about like, oh yeah, we got these homosexual employees that we stand behind. Like, no, you don't.
It's like it's basically this Nike ad is in the same vein as the NFL's anti-domestic violence ads after the Ray Rice situation. It's
Mm-hmm.
the same thing. It's like it's it would be the same as the KKK coming out with a video in support of Black people and BLM.
Right. Right. You got a long way to go before you can do that. you
Right.
have to you got to make things right within the within your organization. Like talking about going back to Nike, like you got to make things right within your organization. You got to make things right with those athletes that you turned your back on. Then after you do all that, you gotta acknowledge your mistakes and that you've changed. Then you could think about,
right.
Hey, doing this kind of ad.
Right. Right. Because what I think about, and I could be wrong, so I don't want to say Nike did this, but it seems as if they may have had some women internally who ain't really down for women like that, and they just yes women, and they say, yes, this is good. Do this. And like the people, and they, yeah, well, they like it. So these
right.
women like it, so other women would like it. But that's why they're getting the backlash.
Yeah. Or it's possible that, you know, like the people that came up with the ad was all dudes. So they didn't even think about that. So
yeah. Hey Tom, what you think we make a ad for the pregnant ladies? All right, Jim, let's do it. Just like
right, exactly.
Come on, man.
They're not even thinking about things that happened in the past. So
hashtag tone deaf. But see, this is when you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar trying to be woke and trying to be down with the times when you know you're not Nike. Just be you. Like just do what you're doing. Like I own Nike stock. They've been doing fine.
Right.
Nike has prospered in 2020 and 2021. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things where I talk about, like, you are a business. So like if you operate and, you know, put yourself out there as a business, hey, we want to make money. People will accept that.
Yes.
Because they understand, hey, we are a business, we want to make money. But then where businesses mess up is they try to, you know, hey, we want to make money, but we also have these kind of values and everything like that. And if you don't have those values, then don't try to, you know, try to sell yourself as that kind of business. Just sell yourself as a business that wants to make money.
Stop.
And then your product will stand, you know, people will judge your product, you know, based on the product.
Yeah. Instead of the bull, like we can't like, because my thing is, I'm tired of the rhetoric and the half-assedness when it comes to community or human service. Even when this, if it's just advocacy or actions.
Right.
Because when we really go back and look, you're not helping. You're only enriching yourself. So the group that you that it seems like you're helping, you're not helping this group of people.
Right.
Like you, because it's condescending. It's it's on one end, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we support pregnant women. But then we really know you don't. Like we really know you don't. Just stop faking, man. Just
the capping, as the kids say.
Hey, you know, it's funny though. They act like they the first one. We were saying that. We were saying that in the 90s.
Yeah, but you know, man, like with the social media, you know, our vernacular gets more popular nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Like, y'all capping, like, bro, we been saying some other capping. Yeah. And it's funny when you hear old ass man Kevin Samuels be saying, y'all stop capping. Kev, come on, Kev, stop saying that, Kev.
Oh, man.
But yeah, Nike, get off the boo boo.
Mm-hmm.
Get off the boo boo. All right. So We're about to take a turn. And this turn for the next two topics go into the sexual assault realm. So get ready. So we're starting with Albert Wilson. So Albert Wilson is a former Kansas University, a University of Kansas student, who was convicted of rape and released from prison ahead of a new trial. So let's get more in depth on this. So Albert Wilson, a former University of Kansas student, has been released from jail. I just said that. He was released on a $100,000 bond. His only pretrial release stipulation is that he cannot post to social media. Wilson walked out of the Douglas County Courthouse Tuesday afternoon, and his family tells Fox 4 he is going home to Wichita. I think Albert is a little overwhelmed. He knows what the case has meant. He is also respectful to the fact that there are people on the other side of this that have different perspectives, even though we disagree with them, said one of Wilson's attorney, Josh Dugan. Family, friends, and supporters gathered outside the courthouse following his bond hearing and cheered as he exited the building. A lot of times, things like this kind of go under the carpet, but we are blessed to have the support that we did have on this day, said longtime friend and former roommate Jonathan Shirley. We talk on the phone, mail, and things like that, but being able to physically hug him and know he can breathe fresh air like everyone else is amazing. Wilson was convicted of rape in 2019 from an encounter with a 17-year-old girl he met at a bar at the University of Kansas campus. He has always maintained his innocence. Last week, a judge ordered a new trial in the case as his attorneys urged his original attorney provide ineffective assistance of counsel. Many people believe Wilson's conviction was unfair because of lack of physical evidence, an all-white jury of mostly women, and alleged racial bias from a problematic prosecutor. The fact that he had to fire his first lawyer is unacceptable. But what happened to being judged in front of a jury of your peers?
Right.
Because his peers wouldn't be all white women. So that's kind of that, and you got more of a criminal justice background than I do. So that's kind of seem kind of slanted, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, when they say peers, I mean, yeah, they mean basically people, just people in that community. So for me, when I hear that that was a jury, I mean, it's like what you say about his lawyer. I feel like, that lawyer, his lawyer dropped the ball, because usually, in a selection process, the both attorneys can, veto any jurors, for any reason, and have, to try to get a jury that's, fair. So it doesn't seem like that happened here, because yeah, you don't want a jury that's, all white men, or all black men, or all black women. You want it to be, a diverse jury that represents, the community.
But just for clarity though, because most people like what I just said, most people when we hear a jury of your peers, we hear like what you just said, a diverse jury. But you're saying it will reflect the community that the person is in more so.
Right. That's what, yeah,
Okay.
that's what, yeah, that's what they mean, the peers. Not necessarily people, like that, or whatnot, or like if you're a black man, not like, okay, well, since he's black, we want to get all black people on the jury. Or like if the victim is black and the person is black, we want to get all black people. But like, yeah, you they try to look at, they try to get, people, like I said, it's people in the area. That's why, if you ever, I don't know if you ever been like on a summers or whatnot, you're gonna be on a case for something that happened here in Tallahassee. So if Tallahassee is all black, I mean, that's not the case, but say it was, then the majority of the jury is gonna be black. So yeah, but that being said, it's the lawyers, the it's the it's the lawyer's job and the judge's job to make sure that it's still, it is, that it's balanced and fair. But that's
Yeah.
what you're picking from, the picking from the people of whatever that community is.
Gotcha. His lawyer was trash.
So yeah, so I mean, and I can see in Kansas, like you
Yeah, it
would
makes
think,
sense,
okay,
though.
yeah, it's mostly gonna be white, but you wouldn't want it to be, you still wanna
All white
make
women.
it fair, right? You wanna
Right,
make
yeah.
it fair. And then they go through those interview processes where like when they show up to a summons, they talk to you about your background and your views on certain things to make sure that, okay, yeah, she's a white woman, but she's not, extremely biased towards, black men or something like that. She doesn't have a negative view of black men just in general.
Right,
So yeah, so but like I
I
said,
got
it
you.
seems like the lawyers dropped the ball in this aspect, if that was the case.
Right. So this says Lawrence, Kansas, Topeka, Kansas, Kansas City, all over, who really showed up and showed support. And I think that's what really brought a lot of this together, says supporter Erica Denby. Each of us I know have been touched in some way, shape, or form by the injustice system that we have to deal with on a regular basis. Both prosecutors and defense attorneys say they're hoping to resolve the case without another trial. So, if this young man is truly innocent, hopefully he gets the justice due. But how do you like replace what he lost? And if the young lady, and if like let's say the young lady is lying or whatever, like, is there anything in place to punish false reports of rape or anything like that?
Well, I mean, that's a crime. But see, the thing about this situation is, I mean, it was only the two of them in their apart in his apartment or his room or whatnot.
Okay, so it's still
So,
a he say, she say.
right, they're the only two people that know what happened in there. I mean, and honestly, it sounds like a situation where, whatever did happen, he saw it one way.
She
She
saw
saw it
another.
another way.
Yeah.
So I mean, I wouldn't see this as a situation where it's likely that, I mean, because I know they mentioned when I was reading about it, I know it mentioned some text messages or something like that that weren't reviewed. So I don't know what was all in there, but it would have to be something extra for me to go to, well, she's false. She's doing something malicious. You know
Right.
what I mean? Now at that same time, with what I was reading about, I didn't see how they could even have got this, had even gotten to a trial where they feel like they had enough to get to a trial. Because like you said, there was no physical evidence. There was no witnesses inside of seeing, like what they were doing.
Right.
They had only witnesses were people seeing them at the bar.
Right.
So like nobody's gonna know what happened in that room. So, I
Right.
mean, I didn't see how you could convict him for rape when nobody, I mean, we don't know what happened in the room. They're the only two people. And basically, he could say this happened and she could say this happened.
Yeah, and see, for me, that's one thing I try to always tell, especially young men, period, but especially young black men that I'm in front of because of my, what, now 12 years working in sexual violence prevention. Because I remember we did a training in Washington, D.C. And this is the first time I really thought about how women can experience a situation different than men, a sexual experience. So one thing she could experience is as sexual harassment or sexual assault, and you could experience it as this is the thrill of the chase.
Right, she playing hard to get.
Right. And so that's why I always say get clear consent before you do anything. Do you want to have sex with me? Yes. Are we having sex tonight? Now? Yes. What type of sex we having? Make sure you get to that. Now, we understand every situation, people aren't going to talk like that. But it would be ideal for you to make sure you are clear on everything before you do anything. So there will be no mistakes, no misconceptions, no none of this situation where somebody can conceive it one way, somebody can conceive it the other. And if they say any word to start with ST, stop.
100% agree.
She says, no, don't stop. So
right. So yeah, it's just, I mean, I just hope, you know, it's tough because like I said, I mean, we don't know what happened in the room. So you feel it's a situation where it's tough for both the parties. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I couldn't, when I was reading about it, I couldn't see how they got to a conviction. So
other than
right,
a,
it just
a said, black hey, dude.
Right, exactly. A black dude and somebody Charlie. Said he raped me, so he must have did it.
And see, because that's that American story or that American fable is so old.
Mm-hmm.
Like cocaine was literally made illegal because the white men said black men gonna get on coke and rape white women. Like white women falsely accusing black men of rape is what got Rosewood burnt down. It's what got plenty. Mm-hmm. It's what got a lot of black towns just tore up. What got a lot of black people killed.
Right.
And so now that's what makes this Deshaun Watson situation so dang on sticky. Did you like that transition? You like that transition?
Yeah, there you go.
but seriously though, because Deshaun Watson, man, this is not a weekly rant that I want to do. I'm gonna be straight honest. I do not want this because of how we view Deshaun Watson. But mm-hmm. nobody is above this rant. I done put myself in this rant. So nobody is above this rant. And if everything Deshaun Watson is being accused of is actually true, he's a sick fuck.
Yeah.
And because you know what's crazy though? The last time me, you, Dr. Javard was on, we actually had a conversation similar to this, and I think Deshaun Watson is one of the people that we named that we wouldn't expect to hear anything
like this, right?
And then two weeks later, here it is. And it's like, no, Deshaun Watson has 13 civil lawsuits alleging sexual assault and inappropriate conduct.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I remember when the first one came out, I was thinking, okay, you know, a civil lawsuit, not a criminal lawsuit. So somebody looking to get paid. Okay. But then when you see, okay, then another woman and another woman and another woman, it's like, okay, wait a minute. All these women got the same story. I don't know. That kind of makes you feel like, okay, because is anybody can get targeted for some kind of extortion, you know, by one person, but 13 people?
Yeah, and it makes it look worse, and it doesn't look good for him. But I think some of the things that you were saying too, all three are civil suits. I mean, all 13, right. Excuse me, are civil suits.
That is true.
And from my understanding, some of these stories or incidents, alleged incidents, go back like a year, over a year. So these are not older instances. These are recent things within the last year. Nobody went to the police about anything.
It makes you question, like, okay, why civil suits and not criminal suits? So, I mean, kind of like piggyback off what we were talking about the other one. If it's only him and her in the room, it's just like the same situation. Nobody's gonna know what happened,
right?
Except those two people,
right?
So, I mean, you could look at it like what you're saying. Okay, well, if it's only civil suits, these are money grabs. But if they know, okay, conviction is very unlikely. Even charges being brought is very unlikely.
Which they are, to be fair, they are.
Right. The only recourse we have is, you know, this civil suit, which the punishment is much lower because it's only a financial thing. But the burden of proof is also lower. Like, whereas in a criminal, you know, criminal case, you know, it's I can't remember the exact term. I want to say beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
And then with the civil, I can't remember, but it's not that. I want to say it's like either probable, like he probably did it or something like that. I can't remember the exact termination, but it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. Whereas a criminal, you need to be able to show, yes, they did it, like
Right.
without a shadow of a doubt. So maybe the lawyers, they just felt like, hey, this is our only recourse where we can, you know, like at the very least for the victims, get to tell this happened to me.
Now, from my understanding, all of these women are under the same lawyer. It's only one lawyer. And you know, they said from Deshaun Watson's camp is from this lawyer, they tried to get money out of him for
Before
something.
they did the suits.
Right. And so I just want people to take into account everything. Don't agree or disagree. Just look at all the facts.
Yeah,
Just look for the
there's a lot
information.
of moving parts. And then I think I read that the lawyer, he was either like a neighbor to the Texas owner or something like that. So, you know, people were saying, oh, well, you know, this is something that they're trying to do the drive down, because he was asking for the trade.
Yeah.
So the drive down the trade value, or make it so he could they that he wouldn't be they wouldn't be able to trade him and say, hey, well, you know, we tried to trade you, but with this thing, nobody wanted to trade for you. So I guess you stuck here.
What was also interesting is before these suits came out, the Texas owner was like, we're not trading. After the suits, well, you're tradable now. So it's everything in this from either side is not adding up.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, unfortunately, the only thing really people can do is wait till all the facts are presented and see what happens, man. I mean, because like I don't think it's to the point where the NFL could step in, because like it's civil suits, which, you know,
See,
anybody can
Elliot.
right, anybody can walk to the courthouse and file a civil suit against
Right.
anybody.
But
So I don't think that's enough to step in and be like, okay, well, he needs to, you know, he we're gonna suspend him or something like that.
but see,
But
that's the thing.
it does create. Go ahead.
I think he's gonna get Zeke Elliott though. I think he's gonna get that because we were here 2, 3 years ago with Zeke. He say, she say, no real evidence. They couldn't prove Zeke did anything, but it was still deemed as conduct detrimental.
Yeah.
And see, that I don't like. Why am I, especially if the player didn't do it, and you there's no evidence to prove that the player did, the NFL is still going to say, well, now we're gonna punish you just in case you did something, even though we can't prove you did anything. I don't get that.
Well, that's one of those things that. Yeah, that was probably in the next bargaining agreement they'll look at.
Right.
Because, like you said, it's crazy. I mean, on the one hand, I can understand it, because, like, look at it from if you're a player that's, you know, that's never involved in anything, right? But then you got these other guys that's, you know, always in the news for something else. That's making you as a collective look bad,
It
you know?
is.
Like, think about, like, you know, think about, like, with us, you know, like being black men, you know, then you see, you know, another black man, you know, doing X, Y, and Z. I mean, you know, at the you know, on a micro level, you know, it don't affect you, but at the same time, you be like, damn, cuz you out here, you doing such and such. Now they gonna look at me like such and such.
Black quarter and but you that's a great point though. That is a great point because black quarterbacks are still being punished for what Michael Vick did. Black quarterbacks are, and Cam didn't even do nothing wrong.
Right.
But because Cam Newton had the season he had last year, because of things that happened to him, that affect all black quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And that's another unfortunate thing about being in the NFL is, like you say, the actions of a few do affect the whole. They do. But it's even more when it comes to a black quarterback because the microscope is larger on them. And that's why I hope Deshaun Watson isn't the predator that they're describing him as. Because if he is, throw his – hey, well, not throw him away. I got to stop saying that. Not throw him away, but fuck him up. Fuck him up. Fuck him up and rehab his ass. Because if you don't throw him away forever, he going to come back out to society. But yeah, whoop his ass. Whoop his mother ass.
Yeah, man, because, like, that stuff is crazy. That stuff was crazy. I mean, like – because, I mean, like, these were, like, you know, people were supposed to be doing, like, professional massages and stuff like that. And it's like, they didn't sign up for this kind of stuff. Now, right. If you go get the Bob Kraft treatment, you know, that's one thing. But these were apparently, you know, like, licensed physical therapists and stuff like that. So they weren't signing up for the, you know, the old happy ending or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know, and so all right, to be fair, let's look at it from that side. Like, if Deshaun Watson was really out here doing this, like, because he, and you know, being a clean cut person, you will fly under the radar for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was actually out here doing this shit, man, that's sick. Like, you just gonna go rubbing your meat on people?
Right.
You can't just go around rubbing your meat on people. And so it's crazy. But now I will say this though. It's crazy that an athlete who's accused of sexual assault will get more punishment within the sport and through the public than the former president. I will say that. But that just show you where we at as a country, too.
I was going to say, you know, it's one clear difference between
the president
and John Watson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as far as how they look.
Trump is white and support whatever going to put money in his pocket. Because I don't even think Trump support white supremacy. Like knowingly, I think he supports anything that's gonna help him.
I think that too. I think it's like you know, he don't support him, but he ain't gonna speak against him because he know they ride for him.
Right, 70 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
But think about that though. So some of these people who voted for Trump are pointing their finger at Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Well,
make your mind up.
I was gonna say, I mean, if we gonna go to that, I mean, like that's nothing new for a lot of those types of people. Because I mean, those would be the same type of people that'll be like, oh, you know, hey, you know, like, hey, you know, like, if you follow this, then you a sheeple, but like, you know, like, hey, you know, we should all, you know, no, the government shouldn't be able to tell us what to do, or is no government handout, right? But then when it's, you know, time for a stimulus check, of course they're going to get theirs.
Of course. Look.
So
COVID has shown that, especially in America, we need government.
Right. Or like, hey, you know, like, they want to talk about the people, you know, protesting the George Floyd, you know, killing. Hey, you know, y'all shouldn't be out here protesting. But then, you know, they turn around and protesting the mask laws. They protesting. Well, it's okay then, to protest. It's okay to protest that though. But
right, we can protest what we want, and we can break into a federal building.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a stark double standard in America when it comes to sexual assault, especially with white men and everybody else. And white men in the category by themselves. Now, black men, I'm not going to put black men in the category with everybody else because black men going to be in that special category because of how we're treated with that, with sexual assault. And even if Deshaun Watson has athletic privilege in this as well, because if it was just regular old Tony, he'd be in jail right now.
Right, like look at the situation we were just talking about. I mean, that's just a regular guy at Penn State. I mean, Kansas.
Yeah, at Kansas.
So yeah, you 100% right.
Right, and it's just, man, when I first heard this about Deshaun, I'm not gonna lie. My first initial thought was like, nah, man, not Deshaun. Like, I believe that was a lot of people's first thought. Like, come on, man, Deshaun, nah. I hope it ain't true.
Right.
I hope it ain't true. It just it doesn't look good and it doesn't look bad. It's in the middle. It looks crazy as hell. This whole situation is crazy as hell. But like I say, but we have to think about it. What if Deshaun Watson was actually doing this?
Then he gotta go. I mean not like from the earth, but like it's probably not gonna be a place for in the league for
his career is over.
Right.
His career would be over.
Right. I mean, because, like, especially, you know, a quarterback. If he was a running back, maybe he could have a chance to come back. Or, you know, any other position, really. But a quarterback, you know, that's a face of a franchise. So,
yeah.
It's like, when you think of a certain franchise, you think of, like, any of the franchises. Like, say, when you think of the Kansas City Chiefs, you think of Patrick Mahomes.
Bruh.
When you think of the Falcons, you think of Matt Ryan. That's the guy. So the quarterbacks is the guy, you know.
Bruh. Cam Newton went through hell because he got hurt. And is going through more hell because he had a bad season. So attached sexual assault charges with 13 civil suits.
Yeah.
That's not an easy road to come back from.
Right, like I said, if it's shown that he's done, like these are things that he was doing, teams, they not gonna want to stand behind him.
It's over, but he should lose all of his endorsements, and he should be prosecuted, or well, no, this is not
legal. Civil.
Yeah, so he's gonna face that. I think his career will be over. It's gonna be over, and it should be over if you out here doing that. It should be. But once again, I always think, though, how can we revamp our society so we don't keep creating sexual deviance, sexual predators? Because it's a cultural thing, because America was built on sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we dig up those roots and replant healthier roots so we don't keep producing sexual deviance, whether you male or female?
Hey man, that's a heavy ask. I mean, because it's like, it's got to start with, you know, like how people are raised, man. I mean,
yeah,
you know, so that people are raised, hey, you know, these are things that you just don't do. But then even then, you know, like once they become adults, you know, whatever happens, you know, it happens.
Yeah, no, that's you can't control the actions of a person. Well, hell, parents, even as parents, you can only teach your child, you can only train them to do what they need to do. When they go out, they're gonna do what they do. And you can't make nobody do the right thing.
No.
I just but because even when I say I hope Deshaun didn't do this, but still on the other end, if he did do this, you still have people out there falsely accusing people of sexual assault.
Yeah.
And so either way, it's still unsettling to either say, I hope Deshaun didn't do this, or to say, I hope these women ain't lying. Either way is unsettling.
Right. Yeah, it's like we were talking about the others, it's a tough situation because like, yeah, you would hope, hey, yeah, he didn't do this. But at the same time, you definitely wouldn't want somebody just, you know, going out here saying, pointing, hey, this person did this to me, when they know damn well they didn't do anything.
I don't know. Hey, man, look, like I say, if Deshaun did it, hey, man, kick his ass. Kick his ass, and he needs extensive therapy.
Oh,
If he
that's for
did
sure.
do it. If he didn't do it, the person who falsely accused him kicked their ass and they need therapy. So that's what makes this situation as a whole just messed up. Because either way, somebody out here doing something they ain't supposed to be doing. So hey man, it's the Fake Sports Podcast. This is how we get down. We have fun and we get real. Told you the realest, funniest, and blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Brought to you by myself, Joseph Ward, and my home dog, Mr. Sam Dixie. Get your mind right. Hey, what's your Twitter handle, man, so people can follow you on Twitter?
It's at Nationwide underscore five.
And spell it for him.
Nation spelled commonly NATION capital YDE underscore five.
There it is. Nationwide. For me, follow me on, follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network, or you can follow Joseph Ward on Instagram. And we're on YouTube, man. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. Patreon, you're gonna get the full video on Patreon. So if you want the full video, become a patron. You're gonna get that. But subscribe to the YouTube channel, like, comment, share. Let more people know about what we got going on at the Fix and the Freedom Train Network, independently on Black Media out here doing our own thing. Hey, I'll talk to you about this after we get off. But hey man, Joseph Ward, Sam Dixie, the Fix Sports Podcast, two fingers in the air like a player, because we up out.